Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
An Israeli airstrike last night hit the largest hospital in southern Gaza, killing five people, including a Hamas political leader. The Gaza Health Ministry said the strike hit the surgery department at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. Palestinian health authorities said Israeli strikes had killed at least 65 people in Gaza since yesterday. Now, health facilities have been increasingly targeted since the new wave of attacks started earlier this month. I'm joined now by vascular surgeon Dr. Nabil Rana from Med Global, who's been on several volunteer missions to Gazan hospitals. Dr. Nabil Rana, good to talk to you again. You're very welcome.
Hi, Comrade. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Can I ask you about the strike on Nasser Hospital? It was the second on a hospital in Gaza in 3 days, as I say, and we've been hearing reports about some of your colleagues who are volunteering there. What is the current situation for staff and patients, as far as you know?
This is just another red line, a war crime, whatever you want to call it, that's been crossed, and it's been repetitive throughout this entire, you know, genocide. And last night was just another example of that. The missile, from speaking to my colleagues that are there, this attack was on a surgical patient ward, and the casualties and the injured were all actual patients. And even the mention of this person who was a target, it should be noted that this wasn't someone who was hiding out or using human shields or using the hospital as some sort of base. He was an actual patient who was severely injured and getting treatment.
But that's what Israel are saying. Isn't that right? That they target Hamas officials or operatives, and they feel that once they get the target, they have warned adequately, they feel, everybody else to get out of the way.
Yeah, so in this case, there was absolutely no warning at all. And, you know, again, this was not a military installation or anything like that at the hospital. It was a patient from our perspective as healthcare workers. And there was no warning at all. I mean, the blast itself caused shock and terror throughout the hospital, because most of these healthcare workers have witnessed that before, a hospital getting hit, so they know what that sounds like. And immediately they ran to see, you know, where the damage was, who was hurt, who was injured, who was killed, including the foreign medical workers. And it should be noted that, you know, there were foreign volunteers from the U.S., U.K., other parts of the world who are there right now. Mm-hmm. And even if they particularly weren't being targeted, they certainly easily could have been killed, especially in the surgical ward. There are at least two American surgeons there right now that round in that area regularly. And so there's no care about who's in the way, about collateral damage, about the risks and things like that. And this has been repeated regularly throughout these atrocities, but especially since the ceasefire was unilaterally broken, mm-hmm. we've had children being killed in massive numbers. You know, over 900 people have been killed, and majority being children. We've had a UN building attacked with tank shells, with a UN personnel being killed and six people being injured. We've had this attack on Nasser Hospital, on a patient ward, killing actual patients receiving treatment. Yesterday there was an attack on the International Red Cross building. There were two more journalists killed earlier today. So these are all just, every single one of these is a red line that, because there's no pushback, there's no nobody from, especially from where I am in the U.S., saying, you know, this is a line, do not cross. There's never any pushback, so nothing ever changes.
But where you are in the U.S., when Israel restarted the ground invasion last week, and when targets were hit, we were told that Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government had indicated all of that to the Trump administration beforehand. So is this done with tacit approval from Washington?
I mean, everything points to that, and there certainly hasn't been any restraint or restriction or halting of it. And so tacit approval is, at the minimum, that's what it is. And there may be active approval. I mean, there's active support of this when we're continuing to supply arms and weapons, right? And so I wouldn't even say tacit. This is active, US-backed and supported assault that's happening.
You have volunteered, as I say, in Gaza previously, and you wanted to go back to help in February. Is that right? But your entry was rejected, refused. Why?
Yeah, that's right. I was scheduled to go back on a third mission at the end of February and was denied after I arrived to Jordan just 8 hours before we were supposed to cross. And there was no explanation given, there was no reason given, no appeal process, no communication at all. It's just you're denied and that's it. And this was supposed to be a 5 week rotation that I had prepared for. My colleague who I was going with was able to enter, and so she's there now. But as around that time, we realized that there are massive numbers of rejections happening for foreign medical aid workers trying to enter since the ceasefire, which is counterintuitive. And by our estimation, World Health refuses to release numbers on this. There's, this overwhelming sort of silence from trying to make a fuss about these things. And I think every person at every level in these organizations is worried about, preserving their position. And unfortunately, again, when there's no pushback at any level, nothing changes. And so there's already been a severe restriction on healthcare workers throughout since last summer, meaning maybe 5 to 7 healthcare workers may enter any given week, with severe restrictions on supplies and things like that, which I think we talked about last time I spoke to you. And that's continued, but now you imagine that 50% of those are being rejected every single week. So you're further limiting the medical aid and humanitarian relief that's entering, further restricting people that can go in and help. And on top of that, no humanitarian aid has been entering from the borders for almost a month now. So you compound all of these things, then start attacking the existing healthcare facilities, which are already, decimated and depleted, the whole healthcare system. So everything is towards further strangling, this suffocation of the strip and these people, even after the ceasefire, which obviously has been broken now by Israel.
The words you're using, Dr. Rana, strangling, suffocation of the people, I think you used genocide. Do you think this is genocide?
I don't think there's any question about it. And I think anyone who still questions that motive and that action and that reality on the ground just simply isn't paying attention. And I would challenge you that anyone who has actually physically been there, I don't think anyone would hesitate to say that, the way we're describing it is actually underreporting. You really can't quantify or put into words what's actually happening
Well,
there.
why? Okay, so when you say anybody who's been there couldn't contest that, but we know journalists are not allowed into Gaza. So tell our listeners why you've come to that conclusion.
I mean, just that fact alone, Cormac, is should give everyone pause that why are journalists not allowed to be there? In what conflict in the world are journalists not allowed to be there in a safe way to protect and report what's happening? And so you have foreign journalists not being able to report. You have local journalists continuously being targeted and killed, where now us, we, the medical volunteers, are the only people who can actually witness and report. And we're not journalists. And so whatever we report is the best we can do, but it's under reporting. I'm telling you, there's nothing that we can say, that I can say, that can really show what's happening there. But there is massive, there's just a massacre on a scale that, with absolutely no regard for human life, for suffering, there's absolutely no distinguishing between civilians or non-civilians. There's no effort made in that. And in the past, I would say that it's indiscriminate killing. But I think it's beyond that. It's actually targeting of the general population, of civilians, of children. When you have a majority of the victims that you're assaulting are children, and children not being like 18-year-olds, we're talking about children, 12 and younger, then how can you not say that the intent is to wipe out this population?
You
When
really
you're
believe,
displacing,
you really believe, sorry.
people, repeatedly displacing people, putting them into camps and tents where they have no way of returning back to homes. And in the meantime, you're just demolishing the entire land, buildings, infrastructure, all of these things. These are all things that are to prevent any kind of society or community from surviving, right? And so there's absolutely no question from what you see, the extent of destruction, the extent of killing, the scale of killing from civilians, women, children, innocent men, healthcare workers, journalists, like everything that you could possibly imagine, they're trying to wipe out. So again, there's absolutely no question about it.
The, Israel says in this type of a conversation, we've had Israeli government spokespeople on this program. They say what they want is the release of the hostages. And what they want is Hamas to stop firing missiles into Israel, endangering people who are innocent. And what they want is activities like October 7th never to happen again. They want to eradicate the threat of Hamas. But you really believe, based on what you know and what you've seen, that civilians and children are being targeted. Now, targeted, I underline, because you use that word. You believe that's happening?
100%. I have no doubt. I spent 2 months there, and every single one of my colleagues that has been there has said and reported the same thing. And it's, you know, the discussion of the points that you mentioned that they bring up, that's an entirely different discussion of how do you preserve security and how do you address these things and prevent this and prevent that. The point is, how does that justify the actions that they've carried out over the past 17 months? And there's absolutely no justification for that. There's nothing that can happen that can justify the killing of innocent civilians and wiping out an entire population. And you know, the reality is, Cormac, that whatever negotiations have happened before and the ceasefire that was achieved, at least temporarily, which also, by the way, was not actually a ceasefire. All of these things have only proven that, you know, when they decided to just unilaterally violate that ceasefire and then blame the other side, when that other side was basically trying to go through with what was negotiated. Mm-hmm. But when you unilaterally decide that, no, we're going to stop now, we're going to start now, we're going to stop now and start now, every action that they've shown has been simply to wipe this place out. And the conversations that have happened since, even since Trump took office, has been only on taking over this land. And that's what this has been about from the beginning. And there's no doubt about it. There's no discussion about, in Israel, there's protests going on that why did you restart the attacks when hostages were being released? Why did you not continue on with the discussion and the negotiation that was going on? And so there's no explanation for that. And so when, you know, we don't hold them accountable to just honoring a negotiation that you've held and you keep blaming the other side, clearly it's just distractions to keep doing what they want to do.
Okay.
And the assault has been, Cormac, from what I'm hearing from the people on the ground there that have been through this, they're saying that this past couple weeks has been like nothing in the past 17 months. The level of the assault and the destruction coming on. And people who have lived through this for 17 months are in terror, absolute terror right now.
And if that's true, that is saying something. When we learn from the Palestinian officials that the conflict, the death toll has passed 50,000, that is saying something. Look, we'll talk again. I don't know what people will think of what you say or how they'll react here. Because it's certainly monitored very, very closely, as you know, by the Irish audience. But Dr. Nabil Rana, we'll talk again from Meg Lowell. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.